Turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 7. Acts, chapter 7. If you remember, last week, they accused Stephen before the council falsely, saying that he was blaspheming God and Moses. And that's the context of where we start in Acts 7. Verse 1, and we'll read through verse 60. So starting in verse 1, this is the word of the living God. It is inerrant, infallible, and sufficient for all of us. The high priest said, "Are these things so?" And he said, "Hear me, brethren and fathers. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran, and said to him, 'Leave your country and your relatives and come into the land that I will show you.' And he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. From there, after his father died, God had him move to this country in which you are now living. But he gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot of ground. And yet, even when he had no child, he promised that he would give it to him as a possession and to his descendants after him. But God spoke to this effect, that his descendants would be aliens in a foreign land, and that they would be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. On whatever nation to which they will be in bondage, I myself will judge, said God, and after that they will come out and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. And Isaac became the father of Jacob, and Jacob of the 12 patriarchs. The patriarchs became jealous of Joseph and sold him into Egypt. Yet God was with him and rescued him from all his afflictions and granted him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his household. Now a famine came over all Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction with it, and our fathers could find no food. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent our fathers there the first time. On the second visit, Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and Joseph's family was disclosed to Pharaoh. And Joseph sent word and invited Jacob, his father, and all his relatives to come to him, 75 persons in all. And Jacob went down to Egypt, and there he and our fathers died. From there they were removed to Shechem and laid in the tomb which Abraham had purchased for a sum of money from the sons of Hamor and Shechem. But as the time of the promise was approaching, which God had assured to Abraham, the people increased and multiplied in Egypt until there arose another king over Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph. It was he who took shrewd advantage of our race and mistreated our fathers so that they would expose their infants and they would not survive. And it was at this time that Moses was born. And he was lovely in the sight of God, and he was nurtured 3 months in his father's home. And after he had been set outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and nurtured him as her own son. Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians, and he was a man of power in words and deeds. But when he was approaching the age of 40, it entered his mind to visit his brethren, the sons of Israel. And when he saw one of them being treated unjustly, he defended him and took vengeance for the oppressed by striking down the Egyptian. And he supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him, but they did not understand. On the following day he appeared to them as they were fighting together, and he tried to reconcile them in peace, saying, 'Men, you are brethren, why do you injure one another?' But the one who is injuring his neighbor pushed him away, saying, 'Who made you a ruler and judge over us? You do not mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday, do you?' This remark, Moses fled and became an alien in the land of Midian, where he became the father of two sons. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai in the flame of a burning thorn bush. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight. And as he approached to look more closely, there came the voice of the Lord, 'I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob.' Moses shook with fear and would not venture to look. But the Lord said to him, "Take off the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt and have heard their groans and have come down to rescue them. Come now, and I will send you to Egypt." This Moses, whom they disowned, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge?" As the one whom God sent to be both a ruler and a deliverer, with the help of the angel who appeared to him in the thorn bush. This man led them out, performing wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. This is the Moses who said to the sons of Israel, "God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren." This is the one who is in the congregation in the wilderness together with the angel who is speaking to him on Mount Sinai and who is with our fathers. And he received living oracles to pass on to you. Our fathers were unwilling to be obedient to him, but repudiated him, and in their hearts turned back to Egypt, saying to Aaron, "Make for us gods who will go before us. For this Moses who led us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what happened to him." At that time they made a calf and brought a sacrifice to the idol and were rejoicing in the works of their hands. But God turned away and delivered them up to serve the hosts of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, "It was not to me that you offered victims and sacrifices 40 years in the wilderness, was it, O house of Israel? You also took along the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of the god of Rampha. The images which you made to worship I also will remove you beyond Babylon." Our fathers had the tabernacle of testimony in the wilderness, just as he who spoke to Moses directed him to make it according to the pattern which he had seen. And having received it in their turn, our fathers brought it in with Joshua upon dispossessing the nations whom God drove out before our fathers until the time of David. David found favor in God's sight and asked that he might find a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. However, the Most High does not dwell in houses made by human hands. As the prophet says, "Heaven is my throne, and earth is the footstool of my feet. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what place is there for my repose? Was it not my hand which made all these things? You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You are doing just as your fathers did. Which one of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who had previously announced the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become, you who received the law as ordained by angels and yet did not keep it." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears and rushed at him with one impulse. When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Having said this, he fell asleep. And that is God's holy, inerrant, infallible word. So again, continuing from chapter 6, before the council, Stephen stands and the high priest asks him, are these things so? Are these false accusations which they had made about him, about blaspheming God and Moses, are those things true? And Stephen, in response, gives his defense where he shows that he in no way blasphemed God, and no way did he blaspheme Moses, nor brought injury at all to the glory of the name of the Lord, to say that the temple should be destroyed and the customs of the ceremonial law changed. And listen carefully, because this is part of what we'll study in a few moments in the sermon in Ezra. Stephen shows us by going over the history of the Old Testament and observing that God never intended to confine his favors to that place, Jerusalem, the temple in Jerusalem, or that ceremonial law. They had no reason to expect the Lord should, for the people of the Jews had always been provoking people, and had forfeited the privileges of their peculiarity as God's people. In fact, the holy place of the temple, the ceremonial law, were but figures of good and better things to come. And it was no criticism at all to them to say that they must give place to better things. That's verses 1 through 50. And then very boldly he applies the truths of Scripture to those who were prosecuting him and persecuting him, and to those who sat in judgment upon him. He sharply rebukes them. You look in verse 51, "You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart." So he sharply rebukes them of their wickedness, by which they had brought upon themselves the ruin of that place in Jerusalem, that nation of Israel. And they could not bear to hear of it, verses 51 to 53. And in the remaining verses there, we see that the council was enraged by his words. They ground their teeth, they shut up their ears that they could hear no more. And yet, Stephen glorified God in that moment. And they cast him out of the city, they stoned him, they put him to death. It says he slept. Remember, if you've been with us, looking at Jacob and Joseph, how it talks about Jacob sleeping. And his life is not done, even though he's died. He's just sleeping because he'll be raised up again from the dead, and he is in his soul with the Lord. And so here, the same with Stephen. It doesn't say he died. It says he fell asleep. Stephen's the first martyr of the church of Jesus Christ, serving the Lord, giving glory to him. We see in this whole thing his patient, cheerful, and pious submission to all that came upon him. And beloved, it should be our goal. May it be the same in our various circumstances. You think about all the circumstances that you've gone through and what may lie ahead, all the circumstances, good and bad. May it be that we, in the strength and goodness of the Lord working through us, be as bold and patient and cheerful and holy as Stephen was in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, we do praise you for this testimony of Stephen's that we read about here, of the history of Israel and how they provoked you on many occasions, just as we ourselves have provoked you on many occasions, even as followers of you. Our Father, we ask that we would not be the same as these men of the council, these priests, and even Saul, who we will read about in the coming chapters, Lord willing. That we would be more like Stephen, and especially more like Jesus Christ, and his righteousness and his holiness. That you would grant us such holiness and righteousness that only comes from him, and coming into our hearts by your Spirit and changing our hearts, that we would believe first. That you would give us the gift of grace and faith to believe in you. And then to continue to sanctify us and cleanse us of all of our sin that still remains, that we keep committing even this day, even this moment. Our Father, we ask that you would make us bold and patient, and in all circumstances, cheerful, with much gratitude, because you're a God who has saved us from our sins and given us life eternal, like Stephen, who, even when he died and when we die, Lord, may it be that we only sleep and that our bodies will be raised up again on the last day, and united to our souls, and we will worship you forever and ever. May it be that none here, from the oldest of adults all the way down to the youngest of children, none here would be damned eternally, would experience that death with no hope. Lord, give us all hope because of the gift of faith that you have given to us in Christ Jesus. May we be people who are not provoking you, but who honor and worship you in all things. For to you alone be given glory. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.